It's time for the show that brings the magic right to your speakers. Ears Up!
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Ears Up Podcast, we are back here with another show. This one, I'm pretty excited about it for some reason. It seems very simple on its core, but the more we played around with it and the more we talked about what to do for the show, the idea evolved into something I'm pretty excited about. I'm pretty excited to hear everybody's things. It's the Songs That Bring Us Back to Disneyland episode.
It really made me feel warm and gushy inside.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Oh, man. That's cool.
I really liked it. I liked thinking about it.
Yeah, it was tough for me.
Yeah?
Yeah, but it was neat. It was nice. So basically, this is going to be songs that once we hear them, we're not that just remind us of Disneyland or whatever, because anything really. But like that just transport you, you know, if you were, a witch and you told somebody how this felt, you would be considered a witch or something like that. I don't know. You know what I mean? You're like, you can astral project your body into your soul, your consciousness into the park at that moment. It sucks you right back in. It's like a visceral thing.
I didn't.
Well, songs, huh? Songs.
Songs, yeah. Well, whatever,
I
man.
Songs.
Yeah.
I didn't do all songs. Oops.
What did you do? You didn't do all
sounds?
Songs? Oh, that's fine. Song, sound is fine. Whatever. Who cares?
Okay.
Yeah.
Phew.
Yeah.
Phew. First day.
It is your first official day.
Welcome, first official day, man.
Yeah, man.
That's me.
How do you feel, Eric? Taking over for the great Terrence while he's off on a spiritual journey.
I don't know about taking over, but yes, it's all such a wonderful dream.
Yeah, it really is, man.
Getting home from work and going, all right, I got to eat dinner real quick. I got to get downstairs.
Yeah, well, that's your problem.
Oh, no, Jason asked me to write more things. Oh, no.
Well, look, I'm sure you're going to do fine.
Somebody in the chat said, where's Jeremy? He should be here for this. And I sort of agree.
I thought the same thing.
But yeah.
Doing a Jeremy impression today, apparently.
And I don't know if
except you're drinking water.
If Eric, well, yeah, it's not vodka.
Yeah,
so not Jeremy.
I mean, it might be. I don't know.
Or a Manhattan.
Eric, I don't know if you did any Disney World things. Maybe Bev, maybe you did too. But what I thought was interesting is like when I think of the sounds of Disney parks, I didn't think of Disney World at all. Like not even for a second.
I had a fair amount of Disney World,
okay.
And that like I'm trying to separate out things. I'm like, okay, where is this coming from? And it was not easy. Like Jason said, what am I really looking for? What popped into my head? And I could have gone way more and done way more things, but these are things where if I guess maybe because I listen to too much Spectre Radio, these things key me in, but, yeah, we'll get into that.
Actually, now that you said that, I just thought of something I should have added.
Uh-oh. Well, it's too late now, man.
We got capped. We got capped at three.
At three. Yeah, for sure. This is five.
I desperately wanted to pull a Terrence and bring like 10.
I could have done, now I know I could have at least done four easily.
I did do four. I cheated, you guys. I couldn't help it. I could not cut one out. I tried.
One of mine has multiple songs in the same clip, so yeah.
You guys are overachievers. I was like, cool, got this.
Yeah, I said it at three. I'm like, yeah, all right, easily achievable. If I had to do five, I don't know if I could have done it.
Fair.
I don't know if I could have done it. Because, you know, there's, like I said, there's a lot that you hear that reminds you of the park. Oh, this is the, you know, ride. But like, like Eric said, we'll get into it. But you can find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Concierge. You guys, if you're going to Disneyland Park or Walt Disney World Park or basically any vacation, but the Disneyland, Disney World ones are the choice for this show for sure. Go to concierge.com and grab your park tickets from the experts at Concierge because they will help you plan your vacation. They'll tell you what hotels to stay at. They'll book your hotels. They'll book your reservations for dinner. They'll buy your tickets for you. They'll do all this kind of stuff. I mean, you have to pay for them, obviously, but you know what I mean?
Oh,
they'll
yes.
do all that
yeah.
stuff for you. And the best part is while you're at the park and if you want something, the job doesn't stop there. You can text them or call them or email them and say, hey, we need help navigating this, or we need help doing this, or hey, can you book a resi for whatever? And they'll do it for you. So they have a level of service that the parks do not provide for you. So check them out, concierge.com. They are actively working to help you make the most magical vacation possible. Isn't that right, Eric?
That's what we do.
Yeah.
We do a pretty darn good job, I'd like to say.
That's true. That's what I hear. I have yet to experience the concierge magic, but I will one day.
Oh, man.
And I will be expecting a lot.
Well,
so you know.
You've been talking us up for quite some time.
Yeah, that's for sure. If you want to support the show, you can do it in a couple of ways. Go to Etsy.com/shop/Coveyors. Buy a bunch of t-shirts and merch and stuff like that we have for sale up over on the Etsy shop over there. But Patreon.com/earsup is the best way. You can sign up for as little as $2 a month if you want, just to help keep the show going, keep all of our shows going. But the best way, if you want more content, is to hit that $5 a month level. You do that, you get the secret show, which I posted a couple of days ago, last week, something like that.
And that was a good secret show, too.
It was good. It was a really fun secret show. And, you know, you get more with the higher tiers. So check it out, patreon.com/earsup. Help keep the show together, and we really, really appreciate it.
Can I show the chat or anybody watching on YouTube?
Yes.
I got this new glass from a listener. I don't know if it's like if she has a storefront, but you can order things from her from Instagram. It's at Creating Pixie Dust. And this says, pour me a mega pint. And if anybody has been following the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial, which is now over, this is a fantastic glass. She sent one for me and Bev, so I very much appreciate that.
Thank you. Goodness, I'm so excited. I wish I was drinking out of it right now.
This is an inside joke, an inside Johnny Depp joke?
It is. So when he was on the stand, Amber Heard's lawyers, one of the questions was something about, you drank a mega pint that night, and he just like kind of leans back and he goes, mega pint. Like, and it's just, it's such a Johnny Depp moment to just like sort of laugh in the face of the lawyer who's.
Which is so stupid too. Like, right. Call it just a big glass. Like you had a large glass.
Mega pint.
It was a mega pint.
Mega pint. Like who even uses the word mega?
I don't know.
Like, I could understand if he was like, what, did you have like a pint of wine, couple pints of wine? Like, even that would be weird.
What even is a mega pint?
Yeah, right.
Well, it's clearly larger than a normal pint.
This is quite a large.
But then it wouldn't be a pint.
True.
Okay.
I mean, you know, they have imperial pints. I mean, I didn't really watch the trial whenever it was on. When Tara was watching it, I would sit there. And sometimes, you know, I would catch Amber Heard's lawyers up talking. And I'm like, this is amateur hour. Like, I don't know anything about anything, but they are just not dynamic. And their phrasations are weird. And I don't know. If she appeals, she should get a different legal counsel, dude.
There was a whole thing about her getting her lawyers off of Wish.
I believe it. I believe it.
Like they were Wish.com lawyers. I think, Taryn, didn't you say they were Walmart lawyers and Johnny Depp had Dior lawyers?
Yeah.
Jeez. It was a pretty fair assessment, though.
You guys are crazy. Our friends at the 21st Amendment Brewery welcomed the warmer weather with the release of their brand new Hoppy Pilsner, Coaster Pills. With a label that depicts a magical portal into an amusement park of flavors, Coaster Pills has a good time around every turn. Coaster Pills is wonderfully clear and bright with a beautiful straw color and tight white bubbles. It has a snappy flavor with crisp lines and wonderful citrus, tropical, hoppy flavors and aromas. Plus, at 5.4% ABV, it'll help you coast right through your day like only the 21st Amendment can. Coaster Pills, as well as our summertime favorite Hell or High Watermelon Wheat, are available wherever you find great craft beer. That's right.
I like that one. I feel like I haven't heard that one yet.
Yeah, probably not. Because I did it. If it was Eric, I would have shared it around, but it was me.
Oh, man. Yeah, I think you used it on the last one.
Yeah, I did, but Taryn doesn't pay attention sometimes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she logged out.
My brain is usually like somewhere like over to the left, and I'm like over here to the right.
That's true.
And that's how that works.
Yeah. She's like a brain guy in Mr. Science Theater. She has her brain in a dish.
Yeah.
She just carries it around. And if she's too far from her brain.
Yeah. Then I can't hear things.
Yeah. The Bluetooth disconnects.
Exactly.
That's true. It really does, man. Man, I got to tell you, you know, normally I don't like talking about this stupid stuff, but like I've had just an enormous amount of like abdominal gas pain for like 3 weeks, dude. And I'm sitting here before the show. Like my stomach was hurting, like below, like underneath my stomach pain, like a sharp pain. I'm like, oh, I'm sort of sweaty. I'm like, oh my God, I might get up and call the admin nurse or something like that. Like, I don't know what's going on. This is weird. And then I burped and I feel so much better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what this is. Like, I don't know how to get rid of gas. I don't understand. It's like painful gas. I don't get it.
I'm telling you, I need to burp you every night after dinner.
First of all, you've never said that. Second of all, my onesie is at the dry cleaner, so we can't do it tonight.
Please video it. Create a new, like, Patreon tier.
God, watching me get burp.
Oh, God.
Do you remember?
In a baby outfit.
Whoop.
We already did that.
Hold on.
Who's that? Oh. Who's that? Who's that?
Who's that?
Who's that?
Who's that?
Who's that?
Who's that? Who's that?
Man, it's the day of everybody talking over my intros. Taryn, who's that?
You know when you hear those stories about like a little girl from Nebraska who gets noticed in her elementary school play by a Hollywood director who happened to be in town? Or like how Mandy Moore was discovered by a FedEx delivery guy who overheard her singing? Or how Natalie Portman was discovered at a pizza shop while shoving her face with pizza? Well, our Who That character today is something like that. Today, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about Figaro, Geppetto's cat in Pinocchio.
Don't lose it.
Figaro is Geppetto's super cute, fluffy, black and white tuxedo cat. He's unlike many other animal characters in the Disney universe because he's not anthropomorphic, meaning he doesn't talk or act like a person. He's just a cat. What he lacks in human qualities, however, he certainly makes up for in personality. Figaro, like many cats, is playful, skittish, angry, annoyed, and just so gosh darn cuddly. He's not a big fan of Pinocchio at first because Geppetto playfully makes the puppet kick the cat in the butt. But once Pinocchio comes alive, Figaro comes around and ends up loving the wooden boy. Now, why is Figaro interesting? Figaro started out as a simple side character in Pinocchio, and he was actually in the original story, so it's not like he started out as a Disney character. Mm. But Walt Disney and the audience instantly fell in love with the cat, and Walt was such a huge fan that he actually had production replace Minnie Mouse's previous pet dog Fifi with Figaro.
I mean, I was wondering how that happens, because Alice got some Minnie Mouse thing, and it has, like, Figaro is her cat, and I'm like, talk about, you know, crossing the timelines.
Yeah. So Fifi went bye-bye,
mm-hmm.
and Figaro came hello. I don't know. Yeah,
that's how that works.
I don't know.
Yep. Bye-bye. So, hello.
This change really brought Figaro to the center stage. In fact, he became a sort of playful enemy of one of Disney's main characters, Pluto, which meant that being a key player in the plot points of many of the storylines. Figaro was now getting tons of screen time and was an instantly recognizable Disney character. Figaro has successfully made his way into 7 animated shorts, 9 TV shows, 5 video games, 3 park attractions, and 6, soon to be 7, feature films.
God, he's like Danny Trujillo. He just doesn't go away. No. He's in everything.
Figaro is Disney's Hollywood starlet. Now, where else have we seen him? I mean, I kind of just told you, but Figaro has been around.
Well, 6 shorts, 7 feature. I mean, come on. Yeah.
Figaro has been around since 1940 and continues to be a large part of the classic Disney universe. Aside from his many historical appearances, meaning all the things that we kind of know about that I just mentioned, he can currently be found on Mickey Mouse's Clubhouse on Disney Plus and in many spots around the Disneyland Resort, including Pinocchio's Daring Journey.
Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, come inside. It's fun inside. They Might Be Giants do the song for that, by the way, so you know.
So one funny little aside, the Beauty and the Beast themed restaurant called the Red Rose Tavern in Fantasyland. You know that one? Like right across from Casey Jr.?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That used to be called the Village Inn restaurant and used to be themed to Pinocchio.
Yeah.
The restaurant has a lot of wooden.
I was really excited about that. Yeah. That's right.
You remembered
it. Yeah, but it was like sort of like a tinge of like, yeah, that was cool. And then I'm trying to remember back. And like, I think I noticed one time that there was Pinocchio stuff on the wall. I was like, oh, that looks neat. And then you leave. Yeah. So anyway.
Well, there was lots of wooden details inside of this restaurant, giving it kind of this French cottage vibe. But there was a design flaw. And so they had, I'm going to try and explain this. They had like, curves, like curved wood on the wall as like a decorative thing. So they would kind of go into a V,
okay,
I guess. And there was an exit sign above it. But the exit sign The design flaw was that the exit sign was put off to the side. So it probably, like, to look good, it should have been in the middle of the V, right?
Okay, sure.
But it was off to the side. And so what they did was they actually painted a Figaro with a rope pulling the sign.
Cute.
To sort of...
I love that idea.
Yeah. They fixed it without having to really fix it.
Yeah.
So Eric Larson animated the original Figaro, and he based the kitten's sort of childlike personality on that of his own nephew. Larson combined the sort of human personality traits with the natural movements of a cat to create this lovable character. Figaro has been animated by four other animators since his original creation, and while he doesn't speak words, his meows were originally voiced by Clarence Nash, and then from 1999 until now has been voiced by Frank Welker.
Okay. I have a feeling these people do more than just the cat voice.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine? Sure. Like, what do you add in the voice of Figaro? So you see meow in a bunch of different ways?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do well, you Clarence Nash is Donald.
Oh, okay.
Well, there you go. Perfect.
Yeah.
See, it's a good thing you're on this show. You know things.
I know a thing.
Yeah.
That That's one.
It. We've used him up. Like the Gelflings in the Dark Crystal. Absorb the energy from you, wither you out, and use you, leave you like a husk. Yeah.
Well, it's no Nobody. Surprise.
Who's the husk?
All right, never mind.
No.
Never mind. All right, Dark Crystal. Classics.
Nah. It's no surprise that a cute little tuxedo kitten stole the show and became such a familiar character. I mean, cats are the best animals ever, so it makes perfect sense. I do find it funny, however, that Figaro, being one of the few non-anthropomorphic Disney characters, became one of Walt's favorites, as well as a fan favorite. I mean, can you imagine if Mickey only squeaked or Donald only quacked? Honestly, Figaro's rise to fame is really meowgical.
I hate you.
Who's that? Who's that? Who's that?
Who's that?
Who's that?
Who's that? Who's that?
I don't know. I think it's Taryn.
Whatever.
All right, let's get to the show. Songs that take us back. So I want to know the songs that instantly transport you guys to Disneyland or Disney World. I guess I didn't really specify, and I don't know if we deviated from that or whatever. But Eric, since this is your first show with us here, your full-time, ears-up podcast hosterino, why don't you start us off, buddy?
Wow.
And we'll just go, one and around, right, like we usually do?
Sure.
All right.
Okay. Well, the first thing that came to mind instantly when you proposed this was the entire Downtown Disney and Esplanade loop. So I've got a clip that has a few little bits of this. And the reason that this sticks in my head is a particular time. I mean, we've all heard these songs before, and you know most of them. They're generally Disney songs from the parks, but some of them are a little bit different. Some of them are the same. They're normal. The same version that you get in the parks, and some of them are a little bit different. Like the one that always pops into my head is the, which ironically I realized I didn't put into the clip, but oh well, is the sort of Zydeco version of the Main Street Electrical Parade that you can hear. And the loop is really meaningful for me because of this time that we stayed at the Grand Californian, and we stayed on the one of the areas where you've got a balcony that's overlooking Downtown Disney. In fact, we were right above the World of Disney store.
Okay.
And I was in grad school at the time, and I was writing papers constantly, and I had to finish a paper while I was there. So every morning I'd get up at like 5:30, 6 o'clock and drink coffee out on the balcony while I was writing my paper. So I learned that the music starts at 7 a.m. And before that, you can hear all the fountains going, and then suddenly the music starts, and then you see this trickle of people that becomes a flood of people walking through. Mm-hmm. So I really have this connection with the music, hearing it over and over again, and like banging away at a paper and trying to get it done so that I can go to the parks and actually enjoy them. The loop has quite a few different songs. I don't know if you want to play the sound now or after I'm finished.
Whenever you want. You tell me, baby.
Okay,
Let's do it now. It's the one called Esplanade.
Yes.
Thank you.
up that trombone solo there. That's great.
Of course, this is it.
I do love how the Esplanade has it's like everything mixed in one,
mm-hmm.
and you don't really know what you're going to get when you're hanging out there for 10 minutes. But
it's a mixtape, dude.
Yeah, it's a mixtape with all good songs.
Yeah, it's all the attractions you're going to see, and it's all designed to make, if you've been there before, you, it's designed to make you think of the good times you've had there before, and if you haven't, you're like, ooh, what's all this stuff? And
yeah.
Hopefully there's a helpful nerd nearby to tell you, oh, you'll find out.
What did we hear, Eric?
Let's see. That was When You Wish Upon a Star. You've Got a Friend in Me. Indiana Jones theme. was there something between that and Soarin'? I don't know. The last one in there was Soarin'. They even still, I think, they still have music from attractions that they don't have anymore, like Honey, I Shrunk the Audience, which is one that I always hear, and it takes me a while to click in and go, oh, wait, I remember that. I know what that is.
Oh, but no, Bev, what's up? Oh,
I just thought of another one that's friggin' perfect.
But yeah, they've got music from all sorts of attractions, and it, like that, some of them exactly from the attraction, or like that You've Got a Friend in Me is a different orchestration. They've got that different orchestration of the Main Street Electrical Parade. All really good stuff.
Awesome. Excellent. Very cool, man. Bev.
So I'll start out with my most basic one.
Okay.
Basic Bev.
I don't know who I was kidding. I need just like a minute. I need to increase the font here.
Okay.
Because I can't see a single word I typed. Font 18, baby. All right.
Let's go. So,
shut up.
I'm on 10.5. I just wanted to point that out.
Love that for us.
Yeah, me too, man.
Oh, I'm an 18. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Yeah. The song Married Life from Up. It's a little basic. It's kind of typical, but that I'm not even a huge fan of that movie. But when I hear it, it can be any sort of iteration of the song. It takes me back. I've heard it while sitting in Carthay. That's a completely different arrangement, but you hear it almost always when you're walking down Main Street, and it just gives you like that, today's going to be so good feelings, and that's why I chose it.
All right, well, let's hear it. There you go. I like the little trumpet there, a little muted trumpet.
Yeah. So I don't have a ton of information about it, but it was written, it was written by Michael
Myers
Giacchino. I'm saying it wrong. And I Googled his name and had him like say it back to me so that I knew how to say it, and promptly forgot.
You emailed Michael Giacchino?
Typed it into Google and like, how do you say Giacchino?
Okay.
And then they said it back to me correctly.
Oh. It's probably Giacchino, I would imagine.
No, it was G.
Are those little peppers that you get on Subway sandwiches? Okay.
Mm, yeah.
Sandwiches. Taryn.
Well, I actually picked the same song.
Basic Taryn.
Basic Taryn. I picked Married Life, which, as you said, can be heard throughout the day on Main Street.
Yeah, let's just hear it, since we haven't heard enough of it.
I love this song.
Yeah. I won't play it as much, though. There you go. Go ahead, Taryn. You can talk over it.
All right. Well,
this one you can talk over.
Great. Right. This is an instrumental score from the Disney Pixar animated film Up. There are several parts of the score played throughout the film, and it changes depending on whether it's a sad part of the film or a happy part. And this score actually won a Grammy for the best instrumental composition. And the version that we hear on Main Street actually omits all of the sad verses. So
I guess that's what you want.
Yeah, I sent you a second clip. I thought maybe I didn't. So this is like the sad part. This is what's not on Main Street because it's very sad.
Imagine walking down Main Street. You're super pumped to be in the park, and then suddenly it's like, oh.
I'm picturing his wife trying to make it up the hill and not making it.
Exactly.
Oh no.
Yeah, you're like, oh.
It's like so depressing.
It's so sad.
I kind of want to go home now, guys. I'm kind of done with the day.
Yeah. Oh. But so they took all that out. So it's only the happy ones on Main Street. And this is, of course, one of the more recent additions to the Main Street area music, because it's only from 2009, which now is actually a long time ago. But let's not talk about that. It's just such a friendly and happy song. And I remember hearing it before I even realized it was from Up, but I didn't really know what it was from. But now whenever I hear the song, I don't know why, but I'm transported to that the spot at the end of Main Street, right after the refreshment corner, but before the Jolly Holiday Bakery, when you're standing there for just a few seconds and you're trying to decide which direction to go in, I must have heard it when standing there one time, and that's where I'm brought back to. Mm. I'm transported to that spot right there and going, are we going to go to Indy? Are we going to go to Mansion first? Or are we going to go to Fan? What are we doing? Yeah.
Or standing out front in that area where there used to be a coffee shop.
Mm. Yeah.
That's where it takes me. That's what I remember. Just standing there, like, waiting for Sam to get coffee for us.
For us.
This song again? Oh, yeah. I wasn't going to wait in line.
No, I'd rather stand in one spot than wait in a line.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's a shuffle and everything. All right. Well, my first one is from Frontierland. Oh. And it's a song. I first of all, I feel like a complete genius, a Google machine genius, for figuring out who played this song on the loop in the park. So
What?
Yeah, you'll get there. Don't worry about it. The song is Ghost Riders in the Sky or Riders in the Sky. There's like a couple different versions of it. The version that's in the park is not the original song version. The version that's in the park was impossible to find, but I found it. This is by Craig Duncan off the album Memories of the Old West. Anyway, I love this song. I hear it every now and then, not this version, but I hear the song every now and then of just different stuff. It's one of the more popular cover songs that people do from cross country or whatever. The original song was written by Stan Jones in 1948 and was chosen by the Western Writers of America as the greatest Western song of all time.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm. What do you think of that?
It's a pretty big honor.
Yeah. Well, and it sort of like sets the bar really high. Maybe too high for everybody else. Like, well, look, there's already the greatest. Yeah, I'm going to stop writing songs.
Yeah, basically.
The song tells a folk tale of a cowboy who has a vision of red-eyed, steely-hooved cattle thundering across the sky, being chased by the spirits of damned cowboys. Not damned cowboys, but cowboys that are damned. Right?
Gotcha.
Stan Jones states that he had been told the story when he was 12 years old by a Native American who resided in northeast of the Douglas, Arizona border town. Anyway, he was a park ranger eventually, and he wrote this country tune, this Western song, and it became a giant hit. The song has been covered about 150 times or more. There's 150 times that's been covered, and it's been like attributed to him, so he gets like, you know, residuals from it.
Okay.
By some of the most influential artists ever, like Peggy Lee, Bing Crosby, Burl Ives, Gene Autry, of course, Tom Jones did a cover, which I would love to find. Someone called Sleepy LaBeef, which is probably my new favorite country western star.
Sleepy LaBeef?
Sleepy LaBeef.
Is that amazing. Like an L with an apostrophe?
No.
Or L-E?
L-A.
L-A. Oh.
Yeah. Capital L, lower A, capital B. Sleepy LaBeef. Which I guess he's like a precursor to Meatloaf.
Yeah, that's what I was like, that's his alter ego.
Yeah, he sort of has like the same body type, but he has this really deep country. And it's just, I thought it was going to be maybe some sort of like a comedy album.
Yeah.
So I looked it up, and no, he's just a good country singer.
All right.
I don't know. Sleepy LaBeef. The Blues Brothers did a version of this. Elvis covered this song.
Wow.
Bob Dylan. And of course, Mr. Johnny Cash, which is the version that I know and probably the version that I hear most often. The Elvis one I saw a video of, and it's really weird hearing Elvis do Elvis stuff to country music. Mm. It's very odd. I don't know if I liked it, but it was neat to see. There's like a YouTube video floating around there. But here's the Johnny Cash version I picked because I thought it was fun. It was when he was, of course, on The Muppets.
Oh.
And Johnny Cash went on The Muppets a few times, and there's a special guest singer you'll hear. Hang on.
A bolt of fear went through him as they thundered through the sky. For he saw the riders coming by, and they heard their mournful cry. Yippee-yi-yo.
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 That's Gonzo, of course, riding a herd of cattle across the state. And they did this, like, little funk breakdown on the banjo there, and, like, little funky bass. I don't know. I really like that version.
I like that of all the versions you could have chosen for this song, 150 different versions, you chose the Muppets.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's one of this band. It's a punk band, Me First and the Gimme Gimmes. They're, like, a super group of other punk people that got together, and they just do cover songs.
Okay. I went and saw them.
They rule.
2 months ago. They were great.
2 months ago? Damn. No, they're awesome. They rule. But they did a whole, they do like themed albums. They do have a whole Western album and their version of the song.
My Heart Will Go On, bro.
Yeah. They do, I Believe I Can Fly.
Yeah. Jeez.
Uptown Girl. Like their first album has Uptown Girl on it and it slaps, dude. Me and Julio Dembele.
Country anyway. Road.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good stuff. Good. Anyway, there you go. That is Ghost Riders in the Sky.
Love it.
By Stan Jones. All right, Eric, give me another one, buddy.
Not bad. Good choice there.
Thanks. Well, I forgot to tell you, of course, when I hear that song, specifically brings me to the shooting gallery.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I can see that.
The smell, the Definitely. Dirt smell of the shooting gallery. Yeah.
Well, it's funny because
the pin shop.
Not the pin shop, no.
Well, when you first started the song, I was like, I don't think I've ever heard this there. And then it hit this one part, and that's where I was like, oh, I'm in front of the shooting gallery.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Eric, go ahead, please.
All right. My second song is a sound. And I think everyone will likely agree that this is fairly iconic. It's the Jack Wagner intro to the Disneyland Railroad. Where he's asking us all to board the train.
Your attention, please.
Yeah.
The Santa Fe and Disneyland passenger train, the E.P. Ripley, now loading on track number one for a trip around Walt Disney's Magic Kingdom. All aboard.
Yeah, if you're lucky, you hear it when you walk into the park in the morning or you catch it at some other point. They still have that portion as part of the narration, even though the narration has changed many times over the years, more times than I would have thought. Jack Wagner did the entire narration through the 50s and 70s. Then Vic Perrin took over in the 70s and 80s. Vic Perrin, the announcer from The Outer Limits, you recall the show, yes. The Do Not Adjust Your TV Set guy.
We have control of your horizontal and your vertical, right? Or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, and then 1980s to 2002, Thurl Ravenscroft version. I'm sure a lot of people have heard that version. After that, Earl Bowen. Earl Bowen did it from 2002 to 2016. He's done a lot of different voices for Disney, not a lot of huge characters. He's done kind of alternate voices of people in Disney cartoons and Disney video games where they can't get the original folks.
Sorry, I'm just laughing at Bev drinking out of a friggin' howitzer shell.
What is that? Jeez. It's larger than your whole head.
I'm thirsty.
Oh, my. And then for the last few years.
Yeah. It's Bob a big Joel's, mug, Bev. It's a big, giant
it is
mug.
It's a big mug.
Yeah. All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
Anyway, Bob Joel's has been the narrator. Bob Joel's also has done a lot of voices for Disney, like secondary versions, like the modern Sneezy. he has been in Winnie the Pooh sequels.
Okay.
He also does the voice of Sala. He's replacing John Rhys Davies in Temple of the Forbidden Eye in the portions where they couldn't get John Rhys Davies to do it.
Oh, interesting. So, okay.
So they've had a lot of different people. And then in the mid-80s, mid to late 80s, during the Disneyland State Fair events, portions of the ride had characters from the Disney Afternoon, like Ludwig von Drake, Baloo, and Kit Cloudkicker. So they had the original voice actors from those Disney shows doing those portions.
Nice.
Cool.
But then you always got Jack Wagner doing the boarding announcement.
Yeah, and like, you know, learning what I did for, God, what show was that? Oh, it was the Don Dorsey show, where Jack Wagner was just recording all the stuff in his living room.
Yeah.
And then, so now, like, whenever I hear his voice now, I just think of Jack Wagner's living room.
He was the first working from home.
Yeah, right. Yeah. WFH. Let's go.
What do you need? Hang on. I'll go downstairs.
Really? I mean, that's, I don't know. It seems kind of weird now. Can you imagine? Like, Walt doesn't seem like the kind of guy to let people just record stuff at home. Like, no, come into the studio. Yeah. We have all this money. What are you doing?
Yeah.
But he would just take stuff home. And take this big deck or whatever it is. I don't know.
But Eric, I gotta say, I think that was a really good choice. Like I wouldn't have thought of that because it's like part of a ride, right? A part of an attraction. But you do hear that when you're walking into the park sometimes, and you hear it when you're just hanging out on Main Street, and you hear it when you're waiting in line for the train. Like it really does like bring you back to these little specific spots in the park. And I that was a really good choice.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah. Absolutely. And it's not something that you would necessarily hear in daily life, but when I think of the parks, it kind of, that's one of those things that comes up. Like you can picture that when you hear it now, you know where you're standing. Like you said, you know, those times that you've been in the parks and you're just getting in or you're leaving at the end of the night and you hear that going off.
Yeah.
It's pretty great.
Absolutely. Let's take a quick break, everybody. We're gonna take a break. We're gonna come right back. We're gonna wrap all this stuff up, and it'll be fun. It'll be fun time, and like that. And we have a little bit of news to talk about, but not too much because we're doing In Depth on Thursday.
Ooh.
So you know, I had to pick and choose.
Saving the news.
Around it up. Yeah, for sure. All right, everybody, hang on, just real fast. This is Ears Up. We'll be right back.
Back to Ears Up, where the opinions never stop, ever.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Thanks for hanging around. All right, Bev, you were next up on the old list, the old DJ list. Let's go, spin it up.
I am next, and my next one is also not a song. My next...
First of all, take the attitude out.
I do what I want.
You're right.
It's a soundbite from Pirates of the Caribbean.
You know what tripped me out about that clip is that little pan flute.
Yeah.
I never
It was the bird for me.
Oh, well, that too. But I've never like caught that before. The little like poo, you know.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, Bev sent me this clip. It can't be the actual sound. Someone had to remix it or whatever. Now I found like some weird ride through and you can sort of hear it. I'm like, okay, all right, got it. Got it.
Is it supposed to like mimic like the wind howling?
I guess. I mean, like instrumentally, I think it's not supposed to like.
Instrumentally, yeah.
Yeah, it's supposed to be reminiscent of like the spirit, like woo, you know. I guess, but it doesn't fit right. In. I mean, Pirates don't play the pan flute, for God's sakes.
No, Peruvian Indian. No.
Yeah, it was weird.
I chose this because I can remember hearing this for the first time when I went to Disneyland for the first time with my mom when I was 12. And every time I write it, it's sort of just sort of not like transported back to that moment, but it does sort of have like that nice, like, that was a nice memory. Mm. Like, and so it takes me back there. And also it's just sort of an iconic statement. Or is it a statement?
Sure.
By, I don't know.
Yeah, whatever, dude.
It's iconic.
There you go.
Yeah.
In the movie At World's End, the third installment of the Pirates of the Caribbean series, when they go over the waterfall to get to World's End to save Jack Sparrow, the screen goes black and then there's different sound bites from the ride that happen at that part.
Okay.
You hear the dead men tell no tales. It's sort of like the last thing that they say that you can really like make out. The last film in the, or the, I guess the most recent film in the Pirates franchise was called Dead Men Tell No Tales. Mm-hmm. So the voice of the guy who does the Dead Men Tell No Tales is a man named Paul Frees.
Mm-hmm.
And I went down a freaking rabbit hole because I was like, oh my gosh, is it Josh Frees' father?
That's what, that was my first thought.
Different guy.
No. Yeah. Josh Frees' father is Stan Frees.
Stan Frees. Exactly. So I was like, oh, but Josh Frees, or no, I'm sorry, not Josh Frees. Hold on a minute. Let me start over. Paul Frees provided the narration for several segments on the Disney anthology television series. Didn't write down what the series was called.
Cool. 24 font, Bev.
I'm the worst. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
But he has done, he does the Dead Men Tell No Tales. He provided a voice for one of the ghosts in the Haunted Mansion. So you can hear his voice kind of throughout, like a lot of things throughout Disney's history. I sucked at my typing here.
The key is to not call out the fact that you didn't do a thing. Yeah, but
he's also the ghost host himself.
Mm-hmm.
Great. I'm glad Eric knows. I have to pause myself and we need to move on.
Okay.
He's also the voice of Boris Badenoff on Rocky and Bullwinkle.
That's right.
I love Rocky and Bullwinkle.
I learned fairly recently. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Are we done, Bev? Is that it? You going to come back?
I'm back. Sorry.
It's all right.
I'm dying here. Yeah, I'm done. That was it.
All
right. I nailed it.
I'm glad you came back for that.
You're welcome.
All right, Taryn.
All right. My next one is going to be no surprise to anyone, but it's
4 hours of screaming.
The teacups. This familiar song from Alice in Wonderland is called the On Birthday Song. Go ahead and play it. This song is present as you pass the teacups ride in Fantasyland. It essentially plays every time the teacups ride goes, which is nearly constantly. So you're always hearing this song. Versions of this song can also be heard while riding the Alice in Wonderland ride and while watching some nighttime celebrations like the Electrical Light Parade. So that's the Electrical Light Parade version, but the original version that you heard, when I hear that song, I mean, I'm in Fantasyland. I can smell the smells. I can see the Mad Hatter shop. I'm deciding if I want to get a Mickey Mouse ice cream or a frozen lemonade.
And we hear that song often, like the original from the movie, either watching the movie or on the playlist that I made for Alice, mm-hmm. because it plays constantly in the house. Which do you have more of a connection of with Disneyland? Is it the movie? Or when you hear that song on our playlist, do you connect it with the movie or the ride?
The ride. Walking through Fantasyland. I mean, and it truly, like, takes me, like, it's like magic. And, you know, so that's a good question. And actually, like, rethinking it.
Of course it is.
Not the words part. Where they start singing mm-hmm. Very Merry on Birthday, that's the movie
yeah.
for me.
Mm-hmm.
But that part that you just played, that's Fantasyland. Yeah, that is just, that is right in that space where behind you is a giant whale and you're in this crowded human and stroller filled snow globe called Fantasyland. Like mm-hmm. that's where I am when I hear that. I love it.
Excellent.
Even though it's crowded and gross and you're trying to actually just get past that part
to get to where you're going, that's true.
I still love it.
I'd like to talk to a cast member someday who has worked that attraction because their mental state cannot be healthy.
Bro,
that is not a long song.
No, I think it's that and then the DCA equivalent is Maters.
Mm.
I feel like those two people.
I thought about that.
Are on 24-hour psychiatric watch during the
for
shift.
Sure.
Yeah. At least Mater has like three songs. Yeah, that
there
it
are
plays
a few songs,
loop.
And a holiday overlay of songs.
True. Right? Yes.
Oh gosh.
Okay. Let's
about that.
Let's say that's correct. All right. My song is a segment of a song from Pirates of the Caribbean as well. I was interested to see how many of the same things that we would pick. And of course, you know, it's a lot of the popular ones. But there's one specific part of the song. Let me play it for you. And again, we hear this all the time on Alice's playlist. And every single time, it takes me right back into the beginning of this stupid ride. It's that. It's that specific, that like fife or piccolo or penny whistle or whatever instrument that is. I tried to find out who actually played the instruments on this song, but I couldn't figure it out. It's lost to the such knowledge is lost to time, everybody. But the music of A Pirate's Life is by George Bruns. The song, all the singing in the song, were recorded by a group called the Mellow Men, and it's either they've had their names spelled several ways. One is the M-E-L-L-O-M-E-N, one word. Other, it's Mellow with a W at the end, space Men, bunch of different ways to spell it. But they were a singing group who had performed in a number of Disney films like Alice in Wonderland, Lady and the Tramp. The group consisted of Bill Cole, Bill Lee, Max Smith, and Mr. Thurl Ravenscroft, who co-founded the group and had led the boys to sing back up to some of the heavy hitters of the 1950s before his stint at Disney, like Rosemary Clooney, Bing Crosby, Doris Day, Arlo Guthrie, Frankie Lane, Elvis, and Peggy Lee. And apparently the Mellow Men were also the singing busts in the Haunted Mansion. They did the voices for those too. There aren't many covers of this song because it's a bunch of like Disney IP that really does it. And so, you know, I imagine Disney doesn't let you just cover this song if you're going to, you know, be weird about it. It's in like the video games. It's in obviously the Pirates film franchise, et cetera, et cetera. Close personal friend of the show, Josh Fries, talked about sampling it for a Vandal song called Pirate's Life. And I thought about playing that as like the here's a cover or whatever. But I was able to find something almost unlistenable instead.
Oh, geez.
So I want you to enjoy your hearing while you can.
Oh, no.
Here it is. This is the Jonas Brothers.
Whoa.
Off the album Disney Mania 4. And you'll notice the lyric change from Drink Up Me Hearties to Stand Up Me Hearties.
Oh.
And I don't know if that's a Disney change or a Jonas change or what.
It's a Disney change.
It's a Disney. Why would they change their own song?
There's a song, I don't remember who, I just heard it recently, that a Disney kid covered that was it was like Genie in a Bottle.
Okay.
But one of the Disney kids like recently covered it for like Disney Music Radio or whatever it is. And a lot of the racier terms have been changed to like you know, like you can rub me the right way. It does not say that. Like, you, yeah, but it's like you may speak to me in a respectful tone.
Right. But I mean, that's a song. This is a classic, iconic rock. Like, you know what I mean? It's part of, it's a core of their IP. It's a giant section of their income. I don't know. Seems weird to me, but what are you going to do? Anyway, I thought it was terrible that post-pop punk, almost
it's
like
really
watered down hard. It was really weird. I didn't like it, and it was uncomfortable, so I decided to make you guys uncomfortable, too.
That was my very first Jonas Brothers song.
Ever hearing it?
I think ever that I've ever heard.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you what
I actually thought it was AFI for a second.
No. Like, God bless him. All right, Eric, I think we're back to you, buddy.
Okay. I figured that a lot of people would go for Main Street, so I went to the opposite side for DCA's entrance at Buena Vista Street.
Oh, look at you dirty dog.
Right? Yeah. I really love all...
yeah, I'm such a filthy canine. Yeah.
I fleas. To that one.
Yeah.
Anyway, they play a lot of jazz. They play a lot of music.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah. Those people
in the jazz music.
Yeah.
From the 20s and 30s. And one of the more famous ones to Deep Cut Ears Up listeners will be George Olsen's Doin' the Raccoon, which was featured in the song contest at the 100th episode.
Doin' the Raccoon. I do not remember that.
Whoa. And I've never forgotten the name of that song since. However, what I chose to cover is one of my favorites from the list, Count Basie's 1 o'clock Jump. Give that a little play there.
I love it. Man.
Man, both of these parks do such good music.
I know. They really do.
Yeah, I really love this song in general. I don't know. I wasn't able to find out who did that particular version, but 1 o'clock Jump was one of Count Basie's most famous songs. It became big enough that for many, many years, they ended every one of their concerts with this song. And I found out in researching it that the song was originally called Blue Ball. But a lot of radio announcers decided that was kind of a risque title for a song.
Well, especially if you have a back-to-back hour. You can't play the same song twice. You have to intro that weird.
But yeah, Basie was a very, very influential jazzist who formed the Count Basie Orchestra in the 30s and was a big name. He's the piano player that you hear. That's his kind of hook is all these songs are very piano based, which I really like.
Wasn't he the band leader at the end of Blazing Saddles? Isn't that Count Basie?
I should know this.
Say that again.
The band leader at the end of Blazing Saddles when like they're riding away and there's just
an
orchestra. That's Count Basie. Okay. All right.
You're absolutely right,
man.
I forgot about that.
My brain is poisoned. All right, very good, Eric.
Only
like
with
it.
The best things.
That's true.
Gravel.
Yeah, my worms eat the best part of my brain. Go ahead, Beverly.
All right, my last one, which I thought was a little random, but apparently not, because it's already been mentioned once tonight, sort of, you know, third party. But it's the ride music to Soarin'.
It is a good song.
It's so good.
You know, I'm going to talk over it. Sometimes I like this show a lot because it does sort of take these things out of context.
Mm-hmm.
And it forces you to sort of listen to certain sections that we deem, you know, important. But it makes you appreciate them a little bit more outside of where they are sandwiched into the ride or where they are sandwiched into the Main Street loop or where you are sandwiched in between, you know, two families from the Midwest. You know what I mean? Like
well,
when you're
right,
hearing
because
it.
There's it's such like it's overload because there's always so much stimulation happening. Yeah. There's
Sometimes, like, if you can just focus on the music, it kind of can take you out of, like, all the kind of overwhelming parts.
Yeah, well, and especially on Soarin'. I mean, you are kind of sensory overloaded on this ride. I mean, you know, you're doing the thing. You're looking around. You're excited about what's going to happen. The ride comes up. You're, at least what I do is I really try to get into the vibe of, like, I really am Soarin'. I'm not on a ride. I'm not thinking, this ride is cool. Trying to think, this experience is, you know, you really try to get in, and I think you sort of forget the layers and the nuance and the detail of that song. It's a very good song.
Right. Well, and this song and this ride is so unique mm-hmm. to Disneyland, or to DCA, I guess, in this case. But, like, really, there's nothing like this that I've ever heard. I'm not going to sit and listen to this type of music, right? Like, what even is this kind of music?
But no, and
classical?
But it's
new age?
I don't know. It's a score.
Yeah.
It's very, very theatrical.
Yeah.
But it's so great.
And it helps tell this. It helps, like, sort of put you in the position of, okay, sure. I don't necessarily try to imagine that I'm flying over the thing. But I do sort of, every time I ride it.
Some imagination.
And I get the good seat. Everybody knows what I'm talking
about. The one.
But you get the good seats, whatever, where the things aren't going like this.
Yeah.
But you're seeing it from a perspective that is incredible. Like, if you can go to Yosemite, but you're not going to see Yosemite the way you would see it, or an orange grove. Like,
yeah,
right?
I see what you're going for.
I'm glad you do.
Well, shut up.
Anyway, I think that was a great choice.
Yeah, it was a good choice.
And also, I got to say, that song reminds me of Terrence every time.
That's hilarious.
Even though he hates it.
I can't believe he hates it. He's the worst.
He kind of is. Feels rude to
say
that
song. That
here.
Score was written by a man named Jerry Goldsmith. I was able to find that.
Isn't that the dad on Rick and Morty?
Yes. No.
Jerry.
It's Jerry, but
I'm sure if Jeremy was on right now, he'd be like, "Oh, Jerry Goldsmith did this and this and this, and he wrote that." But I don't know. It was Jerry Goldsmith did the score.
Fair.
All right.
Thanks.
It's Jerry Smith.
Jerry Smith, yes.
On Rick and Morty, sorry.
Close.
Oh.
Yeah. It's like, wait a minute.
No, I actually typed this one out. It was Goldsmith. What are you talking about?
All right, Taryn, let's do it.
All right. My last one, but I have another one, is is also from the Esplanade. So I was a little bit concerned, Eric, but I actually picked a very specific part of the Esplanade loop that really gets me. Go for it.
Oh, this is awful.
Banger, dude.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Is this Mannheim Steam Wagon?
They wish. I don't
they could write
so.
Something like this. God, did I just do the whole entire song
I
or
think
what?
You did, Jesus.
I love this song so much.
Which Casio voice is that?
So I didn't honestly look up a whole lot about this song, but I do know this is the Fantasmic theme song. It's played throughout the entire show of Fantasmic. This particular part is kind of the exit part of it, where like the show's over, but they're like, we had fun, now go home. And what it really makes me think about is two things. One, I always hear it when I'm in the Esplanade, and I'm like, oh man, I'm at Disneyland. I'm just waiting for my friends to get their bags checked. I'm waiting to go through those gates. I am so excited. So that's the one thing it makes me think of. And the other is like, holy crap, Fantasmic is going on. We need to hit those rides now. Like, it's those two things. And either way, it just brings me to Disneyland. And both of those situations are very exciting. Like, this is a very exciting moment for me.
I love this stupid song so much. I remember hearing it specifically walking by where the buses are, you know, to the security. And I remember hearing it and going, what is this? And especially like the dee dee pew boo boo dee da la la la. My God, this is awful. I love it so much. And it was my ringtone for a while. It was so good. I love it so much.
Well, it's funny because you don't love Fantasmic.
I've never seen
You've
it.
Never even seen it.
Yeah, I don't care parts about it. Of it. Yeah, like, I love this part about it, which is which
so
is
I'm
funny.
Not alone on this show. I'm finally not alone as a person who's never seen Fantasmic.
No,
I've
welcome.
Also never seen it.
Yeah, that's why I brought you on.
All right,
both of you. I don't want anybody on here. Any more people that have seen Fantasmic?
Look, I've walked by Fantasmic enough to understand that I'm pretty sure I get the gist of it, and I'm fine.
It totally.
Yeah, I just don't like nighttime shows. I don't care about theater. I don't care about musical theater, and that's all nighttime shows are, just musical theater. I just don't care about it. I don't want to see my favorite characters, you know, fighting Peter Pan. I just don't.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's not for me, and that's cool. You want it, love it. You more room for everybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right, what's your fourth one? What's your cheater? What's your asterisk one?
Oh, you're going to make me do that? Okay.
Of course.
Just play it. Everyone's going to know it.
All right, it's really long, so I apologize. Hold
really
on.
Long.
That's it. That's what she gives me to play. She couldn't cut this out. This is such an integral part.
It really is.
Of her. Okay, good.
This is one of my favorite sounds of all time. Not just Disneyland, but just of all time. It brings me right back to my childhood, to trips to Disneyland as a kid, of riding Star Tours with my dad, having no idea what Star Wars is. I don't know what it is, but it's a cool ride and a cool experience, and I'm so excited to be there, and that sound is it for me.
I knew exactly what that sound was.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. You want to hear it again one last time?
Okay.
Punch it!
Wrong. I just love it. I love that sound.
There you go.
It's difficult for me to hear it isolated like that because that's now the sound that we use at the start of our ad breaks on Supreme Resort. So, but it's
your attention, please.
All right. Well, for my last one, it's technically a cover. It's a version of the song that I really like to hear. And it's strange. Anyway, it's If I Didn't Have You from Monsters, Inc.
Oh.
It's specifically the one that Mike and Sully sing. Here, I guess I'll just play it. Where'd it go? There it is.
And if I were handsome,
no way,
it could happen, 'cause dreams do come true. I wouldn't have nothing if I didn't have you. Wouldn't have nothing if I didn't have. Wouldn't have nothing if I didn't have.
Can I tell you something? For years I have envied
you, green with it,
your grace and your charm. Everyone loves you.
Poor John Goodman's vocal cords are so strained during the song. He's such a bad singer. I mean, maybe that's him singing in the Sully voice. But anyway,
he's just being stylistic.
Yeah, I think so too. But he's definitely pushing. I love John Goodman. Don't get me wrong. Big New Orleans. I think he's from New Orleans, actually.
He's best.
He's big into this stuff. Anyway.
I saw his house.
Yeah, did you go in? Ask for a Coke?
I did. No. Stood outside and took pictures like a creeper.
This is where John Goodman might actually fall one day because he has steps leading up to his house. Anyway, Randy Newman wrote this song, and it won the 2001 Academy Award for Best Original Song. Some site called AllMusic says, quote, "For all its charm, it can't help but sound a bit like a second-rate version of You've Got a Friend in Me," mm-hmm. but it's still a winning song.
100%.
True.
Jazz History Online deemed it, quote, "a heartfelt love song." The New York Times described it as one of his lesser efforts.
Ooh, ouch.
Yeah, wow. And I didn't play the original, so the context of these is you've probably heard it before. The song doesn't have many covers, probably, again, because it's not very it's not a very coverable song. I mean, it is what it is, right? It's sort of this jazzy, bluesy thing, and I don't really... And it is a love song, a duet. How are you going to really cover that? It's hard. There's many other songs to cover. But that doesn't mean people haven't tried to cover this song.
Oh, no.
An interesting throwback to my other song, a country band called Riders in the Sky did a Western version of it for the 2002 album Monsters, Inc., Scream Factory Favorites. Now, Riders in the Sky have been around since 1977. They're still around, actually. Entering the Disney atmosphere when they were tapped to be the band behind Woody's Roundup in Toy Story 2. So when you watch Toy Story 2 and you hear the Woody's Roundup song, that is the band Riders in the Sky.
Okay.
In fact, the executives were so impressed with the writer's performance, they had the writers create a tie-in album around the characters of Toy Story 2 called Woody's Roundup,
a rootin' tootin' collection of Woody's favorite songs. The album actually won the Grammy for Best Musical Album for Children at the Grammy Awards of 2001. After the success of Woody's Roundup album, the writers were called back into Pixar in 2002 to do another tie-in album, except based on Monsters, Inc., which is the aforementioned Scream Factory favorite, and it won a second Grammy for Best Musical Album for Children in 2003. But that is not the version I'm going to play for you.
Of course not.
In yet another other throwback to yet another song, the cover of If I Didn't Have You appeared on the previously mentioned Disney Mania album, but this is number 6, not 4, okay? Disney Mania, album number 6. This one is done by someone called Mitchell Musso and Emily Osment. Emily is the younger sister of Haley Jo Osment and was on the Disney show Hannah Montana. Mitchell was also on Hannah Montana, and the two were an on and off again power couple on set. I guess. I don't know. Anyway, someone let them cover this song, and I present it to you now as an offering, not of peace.
Why are you doing this?
But of something much, much more sinister.
No. Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2. All right, it's working. Yo, welcome to the best collaboration of all time ever made. Emily Osment, Mitchell Musso, and BT on the track. Word.
If I were a rich man with a million or two, I'd live in a penthouse in a room with a view. Yeah. And if I were handsome, well, it could happen.
It's amazing.
This is offensive.
All the best songs start with you introducing yourself.
Right. As the greatest, whatever,
greatest collaboration of all time.
And also,
plural.
Word.
Mic check. All right, it's working.
Yo.
Here's Emily Osment.
Oh. I thought that was her the first.
She's just a robot. That could literally be anyone's voice.
She's just out. She's like, it's like they like layered her 3 or 4 times and then ran the whole thing through auto-tune. I don't know.
100%.
It's really awful. There's a music video. I highly suggest you guys go and watch it because it's very mid. It's very like mid 2005. The boys had the weird sort of like ear length hair, but then it swooped up a little bit.
Oh yeah.
And they're like walking through a school and she has no idea where she is. And he's just, I don't know. It's a weird thing, but there you go.
So I have a question about the original.
Yeah.
I'm never going to forget that.
Where is that in the park?
Well, what it reminds me of has nothing to do with, this song isn't in the park at all, but it's a song that reminds me of the park. It reminds me of specifically, thank you for bringing it back to me, Taryn. I appreciate that. It's specifically entering the sushi restaurant of the Monsters, Inc. ride.
Okay.
Whenever I hear this song on Alice's stupid playlist, that's exactly like I'm picturing it right now. Like you're just sort of rounding the corner and you see the booths right there every time. It just brings me right back to that ride, that exact specific moment in time. I don't know. It's not in the ride. It's not anywhere in the parks, I guess. I mean, maybe it is somewhere. I'm sure it has to be on a loop. Yeah.
Like at the end or something.
I don't know.
Okay. Interesting. I like that, though.
Yeah.
You kind of like made up your own like thing.
Yeah, for sure, man. Well, look, you know, I wasn't super clear on everything, but you know how it goes, man.
Cool.
Oh, you know what, Taryn? You had one that I got someone's. I forgot. It's the Fantasmic one. Someone covered the Fantasmic version of the things. I found it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Check this out.
Okay.
I thought it was cool enough to play.
Cool.
It's just some dude like on YouTube. Brent Sutton is his name. He's just like shredding to this song, and I kind of like it. I don't know.
That is so specific, Disney. Like that sound is so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved it. I don't know. Good job, Brent Sutton. He's on YouTube. You can go go check it out if you want to.
You know, the one I thought of that I was like, oh, this would be perfect. And I'm honestly surprised that one of the two of you didn't come up with it, didn't suggest it.
Yep.
Was the music from Captain EO.
Oh,
that would have been great.
Yeah, but yeah, I haven't heard but the music from Captain EO in forever.
Well, sure.
Yeah. I'm not exposed to it.
Well, and you know, the one
that I hear it all the time because Sam has some of the most like random playlist ever. It has nothing to do with Disney. It's just obscure Michael Jackson that just plays.
Which is fair. The one that I took off was Indiana Jones. Because I will never, ever hear that song except when I'm at Disneyland. And so, like, it was really hard for me to get rid of that one on my list, which is why I could only get rid of one, not two. But that was part of the Esplanade, is, like, you hear that song during the Esplanade. And I was like, ooh. But I felt like it was a little boring, so I took it off.
And I put it in.
Yeah, it was in yours. I was like, yes.
That's right.
Somebody did it.
All right, let's do some news.
Okay.
Real fast.
March in the past, present, and future with all the news that's fit to cover. It's the Ears Up Disney News.
All right. Disney Plus Day. Bev, didn't you go to Disneyland during Disney Plus Day and report it back?
Yes, I did.
That's right.
Well, blue it's carpet. Coming again.
That blue carpet.
They're having another one.
Uh-oh.
Are you going to... Oh, go again. Go again.
When is it?
September 8th. Leading into D23 Expo.
It'll be so busy.
Oh my God. Well, yeah.
It's going to be terrible.
Apparently, I mean, if it's sort of like butting up against D23.
It's going to be awful.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I would avoid that whole area.
I am planning to take my niece and nephew and Abby again in September, but we passed on that.
No. Okay. Well, there you go. That's all the details we have.
Mm.
And just the date.
God,
September
I'm so
8th.
Curious to see if they're going to do a blue carpet again.
Of course they will.
I'm telling you guys, it's going to be the same carpet.
It's so no.
It will not be that it carpet was be. Was disgusting.
Mm. No, whatever, man. The Disneyland Resort has paused its sale of Magic Key annual passes, everybody. So if you were thinking about purchasing an annual key manual Magic Key pass, man, you can't.
You can't buy them.
All of them. But they have announced a new tier for California residents. Of course, on Monday, Disneyland paused sales of its Enchant and Imagine keys. With the announcement, all four Magic Keys annual passes are now listed as unavailable. The keys give you, we already know how it goes. Disneyland said existing Magic Key holders will be given the opportunity to renew their pass when it expires. But no other information about renewals was shared. I was talking to a couple people offline. They were like, I'm actually really surprised. It's almost been a year. They haven't announced anything about renewals or anything like that.
It just seems...
I mean, they started in August of last year. It's coming up quick.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, why wouldn't they just renew them? I mean, what's...
Well, but you... I mean, so far, there's no way to let people know that they can. I guess that's the thing. It's like, you should let people know that it's coming up.
I haven't gotten any sort of notification about renewal.
Yeah. Also on Monday, Disneyland announced a limited time ticket offer for California residents that includes a special 3-day ticket eligible from June 13th to September 15th. Tickets only valid Monday through Thursday, and they start at $249. And tickets that week include weekends will start at $299.
I might buy this.
Yeah,
that's pretty cheap.
Spend
that's
50
hella
bucks.
Cheap.
50 bucks more to go when it's more crowded. Psych. Psych your mind. What does that work out to?
$83 a day for the weekday one.
$83 a day. I wonder, do you think you're, you would probably know, Eric. Can you park hop with those? Can you because I think sometimes when they have these like really kind of lower price tickets, you're one park one day.
I think that is one park one day. Mm. I think I saw that.
I haven't looked into it too much. I just learned about this earlier today.
Okay.
But yeah, quite often they do go for the... just one park. It's interesting. It's another one of those situations where they're saying, okay, we want the locals to come, but we don't want the locals to come all the time.
Right. And we definitely don't want them to get any sort of value for it.
Yeah.
Right.
No,
right.
we don't make them feel good.
Hey, they're complaining about not being able to get reservations. You know what we should do is have them not get tickets at all.
Right. We'll show them. Then they won't complain.
Then they can just buy tickets. I assume if they're buying the tickets, then you fall into that category where you probably have more reservations available because people who have single day tickets or multi day tickets and hotel reservations get priority. There's a bigger bucket for getting reservations than the amount that they allocate for annual pass holders.
Mm, got it.
Sorry, magic key holders.
Yeah, come on now, dude. What's going on with you? Yeah. The Blue Bayou restaurant in New Orleans Square is finally open again. However, it's only accepting walk-ins. You can't call up for a resi at Blue Bayou.
I would actually prefer that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, oh, you can do it through the Disneyland app, apparently, also.
I thought you had to do everything through the Disneyland app now.
Apparently not. I don't know. Just a little quick blurb, because I know it's been closed down for a while. And then here, the last, I told you this is quick. Last story. I Am Groot animated series arrives on Disney Plus in August. The series of short cartoons, whatever those are, premieres on August 10th. The animated series of shorts centers around none other than Baby Groot, with Vin Diesel reprising his role as the voice. And now, it's like the most undersold, come on, or oversold thing. Even the voice. Why did Vin Diesel have to do it?
I think it's so cute.
Couldn't it be anybody else?
I love that it's Vin Diesel.
But why?
I don't know, because I don't care about Vin Diesel at all, but I think it's so funny that he's the voice of Groot, who doesn't say anything but, I am Groot.
Dumb. Marvel Studios teased the upcoming series in a tweet, showed off an official poster with Baby Groot chilling out atop one of the headphones attached to Peter Quill's iconic Walkman. He rests beside a palm tree-shaped air freshener that shows just how tiny he really is. Yeah, anyway, there you go. Not much is really known about the show. The description is pretty vague. It says, following Baby Groot's glory days growing up and getting into trouble among the stars. We don't know if any other Guardians will make an appearance in the show in animated form or if it will just focus on Groot.
I mean, I do like Groot. He's very cute.
Yeah, I think he's fine.
I love Teenage Groot. He's the best.
Yeah, he's the best. Absolutely.
He's the best.
I am Groot.
I looked up that pass, that 3-day pass. It is one park, one day. But if you want to add Park Hopper to it, you can for an additional $60.
Well, it's only $30 a day, right? Because it's 3-day?
Yeah, but then you climb back up to like the 119 range or something like that. Then it's not really a deal. I don't know. Is it? I don't know.
I don't know.
Still a deal.
It's still a deal. It's like $109 a day or something.
I guess.
That's not bad.
I don't know. Whatever. All right. I think that's it.
I think we all picked very good sounds.
I think so, too. I think we did a good job. Good job, everybody. Eric, how was it? Give us your feedback on being on the show as a full-time cast member.
It's a lot of fun.
Thanks, man. Yeah. I'm going to edit out that long pause so it makes it sound like you were just instantly like, oh my God, I had a blast.
Okay, can I take two?
Take two.
Yeah, go ahead.
Take two. Wow, it was really great. Great. I might need another one.
Yeah, take three.
I need another take.
Anyway, whatever. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. And thank you, everybody, for what to listens live on the things. You know, whatever you're going to do. I'm choking on my own saliva. Hold on, I'm going to die. We have In Depth on Thursday. Jeremy and I will be recapping the greatest moments in Disney news. I know there was a fight. There's a couple other things that we're going to be covering that Jeremy loves to cover, so we're going to be checking those out as well. Listen to all of our other shows, Supreme Resort, Scraping the Vault, Bantha Milk. Those guys are out there. And I think I'm going to try to do our walkabout for the month tomorrow. I'm going to work on it. I'm going to do it.
Cool. Yeah. Bev was just on TSR.
Bev was just on TSR. That's right.
And yes,
I texted Bev.
In a few weeks.
I go, how was that? She goes, good. It was only 2 hours. Okay. It's great. That's perfect. That's
it
short.
It seemed like it took a long time, though. It moved.
Cool.
It wasn't stagnant.
Yeah. We all learned things.
Maybe.
To be fair, our Pirates episode was so long we had to split it into two parts. So 2 hours is short.
It's pretty short, yeah. I was like, oh, okay, great. You don't know how true that is. All right, everybody, we're going to get out of here. Thanks a lot for tuning in. And until next time, we'll see you in the parks.